Amen. Thank you. All right, we're going to do some basic teaching on this great doctrine of the church called the Ascension of our Lord. But before we get into that, let's pray one more time. Almighty God, I do praise you for opportunities like this to share in your word read and proclaimed. Help us now, Lord, to just respond in faith, and we ask for your encouragement, and we ask that through the work of your Holy Spirit, that Jesus would be lifted up, for we pray all this in his precious name. Amen. So, as I said, this is considered Ascension Sunday. I think this is a fairly safe church holiday, or we could say holy day. Because the world has not quite gotten its claws into it yet. We must admit that Christmas and Easter sometimes are used for consumeristic purposes, let's put it that way. But the world and culture has yet to figure out what to do with Jesus being lifted up and someone flying out. The problem too, though, I think, is that the modern church often neglects the important aspects of the ascension of our Lord, because it is an aspect of the Christian good news, Jesus ascending into heaven. It's important, and we should not overlook it, and we won't. Now, remember the events. We have the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, and then for 40 days, Jesus is appearing, and he is bearing witness that he lives to the disciples. And for those 40 days before his ascension, what happens? Well, he fellowships with them. He has, if you remember, he has meals with them. And then also he begins to teach them from the Old Testament scriptures and preparing his apostles to write the New Testament scriptures as he shares with them what it means that Jesus is Messiah and Lord. Now, Luke offers his gospel, and he ends it this way. Notice verse 50 through 53. Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So there it is. So they worshipped him and then returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy, and they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. So Luke ends his gospel with the ascension, and then he begins his part two, his volume two of his works, which we call Acts. So the gospel of Luke, and then Acts. He begins it with the ascension. Now, the ascension of Christ is to be understood, I'm going to give you two key words, as an event and a transition. It is an event and it is a transition. Now, Christianity is about historical events. And this event we're talking about happened. In history, Jesus ascended. It was an event. We're going to talk more about what that means. But it was also a transition. Jesus transitioned from his earthly ministry to his heavenly ministry. So the ascension meant his earthly ministry complete. His heavenly ministry would now begin. It's not about Jesus just going to another stratosphere. Don't think of it that way. Or to be now engaged in another atmosphere. If I can put it this way, he has gone beyond material creation into the presence of and the full presence of God the Father. This is about his exaltation, his enthronement. It's about now knowing his presence everywhere, Christ's presence everywhere. Transcendence and immanence. Those are two 75-cent words, but I think we can understand them. Jesus is transcendent. He is exalted. He's above us in the sense that he is beyond us. He ascended on high, but he is also imminent. That is, he is very close. As one theologian put it, Jesus is further away from us than galaxies, billions of light years away. And he is as far away as that, but he is as close to us as the beating of our own hearts. Now, when we think about the ascension, we're talking about Christ being exalted. Christ being exalted. Now, Luke is a physician, but he's also a historian. And so he writes this as a good historian. Again, Christianity is about what God has done in time and space through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Luke writes a gospel about Jesus to this man named Theophilus. Luke tells, he's not about telling people his philosophy or his thoughts on religion or his understanding of pagan religions versus this religion. No. Luke is just giving the historical facts of what happened about the life and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. And then he opens his second volume, Acts, with these words. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, that's the Gospel of Luke, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, there's the 40 days, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. And I love that little phrase, time to time. You know, Jesus just, from time to time, the resurrected Jesus appeared to them and proved in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Remember, Christianity is not just a teaching. It's not just an ethical point of view. Christianity is a person. Christianity is Christ. It is all about him. And the purpose of the church is to exalt Christ. That's our purpose. So we start with Jesus. Christianity is about coming into a relationship with him by repentance for sin and faith in him. And then it's about his person and his work in this world. The Son of God is born into this world. He takes on flesh. That's the incarnation. That's Christmas. He shows victory over the devil in this world. He shows the power to heal, forgive sins, to calm storms, to raise the dead. And then he died on the cross for sinners, not for his own sin, but for our sin. And then he was raised. See, too many people have a view of Christianity that doesn't accompany Jesus home and sits him at his right hand, the place of highest honor. And he gives all authority to his Son. So why do we celebrate ascension? Because of that. Because all of heaven celebrates the victorious return of the Son. He was the Lamb who was slain, but he ascended also as the Lion who conquered. We'll leave it to Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher of the 19th century, to paint a picture for us of this when he preaches these words, "Behold, how exalted was Christ in his ascension. Aloft he soared, and as he went, I think I see the angels looking down from heaven and crying, 'See, the conquering hero comes.' So his journey through the plains of the heavens is complete. He nears the gates of heaven. Attending angels shout, 'Lift up your heads, you everlasting gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors.' 10,000,000 tongues roll an ocean of harmony. The King of Glory comes. His Father says to him, 'Well done, my son. Well done.' While heaven itself echoes with the shout, 'Well done, well done,' up he climbs to the highest of thrones, side by side with the Father God." The ascension, the exaltation, the enthronement of Jesus. And from the beginning, the church has exalted our Lord in this way. Peter and the apostles would often encounter tribulation and persecution. And they answered their persecutors one time, and they said, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the grave, and God has exalted him at his right hand as a leader and a savior to give repentance and forgiveness of sins." One of my New Testament professors at Asbury Seminary in Kentucky, when I was there, Dr. Steve Siemens, writes this: "Celebrating and proclaiming the ascension is crucial if we are to fully and properly exalt Christ. Jesus is not only risen, but reigning." Listen to this. "Not only risen, but reigning. Not only alive, but sovereign. not only central, but supreme. Yes, he's not only risen, he's the reigning Lord. He's not only alive, he's the sovereign Lord. And he's not only central to our faith, he is the supremacy of our faith. And then he goes on, when we fail to exalt and enthrone Jesus, something or someone else inevitably assumes the throne. I would ask everyone here this morning to exalt and enthrone Jesus in your own heart. Make sure he is enthroned in your life and he's the Lord of glory in your heart and your home. And being found in human form, he humbled himself as a servant, and he was obedient even to the point of death on the cross. And it was because of that that God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, think about it. In his incarnation, that's Christmas, when he took on flesh and the eternal Son was born into this world and came into time and space, he experienced our life. He experienced even suffering. It makes him a sympathetic high priest to us. We go to him. He knows. And it encourages us to go to him. We have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, the scriptures say. Jesus, the Son of God. Because of that, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect knows what it's like to live in this world, except he was without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. That's his incarnation. And his death, what did his death deal with? His death dealt with sin. His death dealt with the problem of our need to be reconciled to a holy God. His death deals with that. And his burial and his resurrection defeated death and removes the fear of death and overcomes the evil one. And then his ascension speaks to the enthronement that secures us, that gives us an assurance of his presence and authority and power in this world. And it also promises the coming of the Holy Spirit, which we'll look at next week. In John 16 and verse 7, I'm sure the disciples were astonished when Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, if I'm crucified, risen, and ascended, if I go, I will send him to you." And we celebrate that next week. And his ascension also assures us of his second coming. In verses 10 and 11 from our scripture reading, notice this. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Here it is. Jesus has been taken away from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." This resurrected body, this glorified body, he was raised and ascended. That same risen and ascended Jesus will come back. The way he went up, he'll come back. The ascension also means one other thing I want you to hear. It means that not only is Jesus seated at the right hand of God, at the throne, but we have been joined to him in that position because we have been united with him by faith. We are united to Jesus through faith in him. We identify with him in that he died for our sins and he was raised to give us life and he ascended on high and we ascended with him. Look at this. This is just one of the passages. I could point to a few, but this is in Ephesians chapter 2. "But God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved." That's his death, burial, and resurrection. "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ," and look at this, "and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. And one day we will be with him forever." The Apostles' Creed said he ascended into heaven. The risen Jesus, now in the fullness of God's presence. His earthly ministry is no longer is over. His heavenly ministry now begins, and his heavenly ministry is no longer limited by space and time. He is with us now and empowers us. He is available to us. The last words that he said in Matthew's gospel, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Oh, that we might exalt him in our praises and the faithfulness of our lives. Oh, to realize this, that Jesus is with me and I am with Jesus. And his ascension is the very foundation of our hope. His ascension is the foundation of our call as a church to make disciples. All authority is given to me. Go and make disciples. I am with you. That's ascension statements. You know, a child can live with confidence and boldness and assurance and emotional health when that child knows that they are loved by parents or a parent. And it's the same with us. There's an assurance. There's a security in knowing the love of Jesus. That love that can transform and shape us. But I want you to know something about that love. It's a love that's also enthroned on high. The love of Jesus is a reigning love. It is an enthroned love. It is a love that sits at the right hand of God and reigns forevermore. Aren't you glad when someone says, "All authority has been given unto me," that that person is also love? And that's Jesus. N.T. Wright, a New Testament theologian, writes this: "To embrace the ascension is to heave a sigh of relief." I want you to hear this. "To embrace the ascension is to heave a sigh of relief, to give up the struggle to be God, and with it the inevitable despair at our constant failure, and to enjoy our status as his children and creatures, image-bearing creatures, but creatures nonetheless. I'm glad that Jesus is on the throne. I can take a sigh of relief." When I was in high school and college, me and my Christian buddies, we had a saying that we would often say to each other: "Jesus is still on the throne." That's what we would say. If something in life would happen, whether it would be something silly or something serious, we would always say, "Jesus is still on the throne." I remember a war breakout that America was in when I was in college, and I remember my buddies reminding me, "Jesus is still on the throne. Even if war breaks out, Jesus is still on the throne." And then when my precious Cowboys would lose a playoff game, and I would get so upset about that, my buddies would say, "Jeff, Jesus is still on the throne. I think you'll be okay. I think you'll be okay. He's still on the throne." I remember as a little boy, when my daddy used to come home late from work. He worked at Chevron Refinery in Pascagoula. And I would struggle to go to sleep. And I was in my room, and my brother and I had bunk beds, and I was on the top bunk. And our house was so small, you could hear about everything that went on in it. But I would stay up till 11, even past midnight. Because there was something about my dad being home that would just help me to sleep securely. And I loved it when I heard that door open, and he'd walk in, he'd come in down the hall, he'd go to his room, and I'd just turn over and go to sleep. I can sleep now. Daddy's here. Well, my daddy is dead. And we buried him yesterday. But I can still hear those words: "Regardless, Jesus is still on the throne." And that's everything to me. And so now, I think I can just rest and go to sleep with some peace to know that a loving Christ reigns now and forever. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and love to us. We thank you for this reminder of your ascended glory and this reminder of your presence with us. You say that you will never leave us or forsake us. We thank you for that greatest promise of all. We want to respond to this message. Lord, I pray everyone here, this would be a moment to enthrone you in their lives. You are the living Lord. You are the Lord of glory, the eternal King. But Lord, we pray that all here would bow to you and declare your glory. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who brings home this message to our hearts. And we want to respond in faith and being encouraged as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to stand with me for our closing song and praise to our ascended Christ. Of course, opportunity for you to spend a moment here at this altar too in prayer. We invite you to come. Let's pray together. May you go now in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died, is buried, and is risen, and in the love of God the Father, and in the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen.